This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Whether you was in the service there or watching it online, what a mighty visitation of the Lord that we've had this week. Who were, I know there were some here that was able to make it or actually watch. Why don't you lift up your hands? Just kind of want to see who can kind of know what I'm talking about this morning. What a mighty move of God we felt this week. Matthew chapter 8 is where we'll be reading from this morning. So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And I just, hopefully, I was thinking about as I was unpacking my bags night before last when we got home, I began to think about, you know, I want to take some of that I experienced at camp meeting, and I want to unpack it to you today. I want to unload it to this city. Some of that anointing, some of that, those words that I heard, I don't want to just be a hearer, but I want to be a doer of the word. And I feel like there's people here that feel just like I do this morning. You want to take what we experienced at camp meeting and put it into Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church. If anybody feels like I do, won't you put your hands together this morning for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God's going to do great things in us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man of under authority, everybody say authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And even to my servant, he's talking about even how he speaks to his servant. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I want to talk to us this morning about understanding the authority of God. Understanding the authority of God. Why don't we put our hands together one more time for the Lord before we're seated, and let's just praise him for a few moments. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day and what you're going to give to us, Father. And I pray, mighty God, that we would receive everything that your word has to say this morning. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated today. If you take a look around our world that we live in, you will soon discover that we live in a society that's lost its sense of values. Can I get amen? This world has no remorse for a lot of its actions. And there isn't anything that this generation feels like that is off limits. In fact, this world, society that we live in, encourage you to live life to the fullest, or what they think life to the fullest is. But theirs is totally contrary to what the Word of God teaches. You even see it in their advertisements and in the billboards. Burger King for years has a slogan saying, have it your way. And if you've watched Facebook, looked on Facebook here lately, you'll see that Burger King's fixing to drastically change their advertising, because now they're making a Whopper with rainbow labels. And I don't have to go into great detail what it's trying to promote there. So this world talks about having it your way. Miller Beer has their slogan for years. It says, live the high life. Dodge, their slogan is, grab life by the horns. And so our world really does not understand that this concept that they're talking about, grabbing life by the horns, living life to the fullest, do what you want to do, live like you want to live, just as long as you can step on anybody you want to step on, just as long as you make it to the top. They feel like that this concept can get them, gain them prestige in life. But I tell you, this concept comes from beneath the earth. It comes from a source way down deep in a place that none of us want to visit, because it comes from, no doubt, no wonder it comes from the place and the depths of hell. From the beginning, Lucifer wanted to live his life without rules and regulations. He refused to worship his creator And Isaiah begins to tell us and gives us a little bit insight of how Lucifer, how he fell from heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the scripture reads like this. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," notice Lucifer is saying, "I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And he says in verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." So this attitude that this world has, it's the same spirit that Lucifer had many centuries ago. It's among us today. That same spirit is the spirit of this world, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of Antichrist. And why we wonder why there's so much violence. We wonder why there's so much perversion. Why there is so much abuse in our world that we live in. And I tell you why. There's so many reasons why this is happening in our world. And I can tell you and sum it up in one word. They are not submissive or submitted to authority. This world does not understand authority or much less the authority of God. Children are fed through the media that it's cool to disregard authority. Lori and I often have to screen what our kids watch as far as cartoons, because a lot of the cartoons are not like Warner Brothers that we knew way back when I was a boy. Amen? Because now they're feeding rebellion through the cartoons and through the movies and through the media. And so you have to watch what you let your kids watch. And young adults are being encouraged to break the law in order to have a great weekend. They're encouraged to go back buy alcohol at an age that even though they're underage, they're encouraged to do that because that's the only way you're going to have a great weekend. And you don't have to listen to your boss that way. That's what's in our workforce today. And they tell you can be your own boss. Teenagers are constantly being told that they are adults and they can live without the guidance of a parent. They can make decisions without the aid of a mother or a father. They're encouraged to involve themselves in activities that do not require a marriage license. For after all, to them, a marriage license is just a piece of paper from a courthouse. And that's the world that we're living in today. They don't understand the authority of God. They don't understand being submitted. And many young adults are living in the lie that they can be their own God. They are much like the people during the time of the book of Judges when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's the world that we live in, whether we like it or not. We're living in that world today. They don't want a rule book. They don't want a preacher. They don't want a teacher, a prophet. They don't need a church. As Lucifer said, they have said in their hearts, "I will ascend. I will exalt. I will become a star. I will become great." And they're doing it their way and not under submission of God. But we read in this story of a man who was not a Christian. We read of somebody today that was not a scribe. He was not even a Jew. Matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even name him. He's just simply a Roman soldier. But he understood something that this generation has lost. He understood the power of authority. When he asked Jesus for a miracle, as we read in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was willing even to come to his house and perform it. But this centurion realized that Jesus was altogether different than any man that he had met before. We're going to look at some things that this Roman centurion, what he knew about God as far as recognizing who he was. The first thing that he did was, we're going to read this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord." Now let's stop right there. He recognized who Jesus was. The first word out of his mouth, this captain that was enlisted in the Roman Empire, he said, the first thing he said was "Lord." Now you say, well, that's insignificant. No, you got to understand how this man was trained. He was trained that the only God in the earth at that time was Caesar. That Caesar was God. And that everything he lived for, everything he labored for, everything he fought for that great Roman Empire was for Caesar. Because after all, Caesar was his God. For him to say, look at Jesus and say, "Lord," it was treason. Because for him to say "Lord" was saying that Caesar wasn't God anymore, but that this Hebrew man was his God. And see, this was not, he understood in just a few moments That looking at Jesus, this was not an ordinary man from Galilee. This was not just a simple carpenter's son. This was not just a great prophet. He was God. And he didn't need a 10-week Bible study. He didn't need to see another miracle. He didn't have to have a background check on who Jesus was. Just being in his presence for a few moments, he recognized who God was. He realized that this man was a high-ranking official in the spirit world. It's amazing to me how this Roman captain in just a few moments knew who Jesus was. Yet his so-called followers, Jesus' disciples, his followers that had been following him and seeing him do miracles hadn't even recognized that he had the authority of God Almighty. They were unsure of who he was. And I hope today that we are not wondering who God is. I hope in this lesson today that we understand that when we look at Jesus and when we read about Jesus and we hear about Jesus, we understand that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, I wish I could get some amens this morning. Because we have to know, we have to understand the authority of God. You understand that when you walk through these doors, I think there are people that I'm speaking to today that you understand that this is a holy place. You understand that this is hallowed ground. You understand that when we come into this place, we came into more than just a building that's made out of sheetrock and mortar and brick, but we came into the presence of Almighty God, and we want to worship him and recognize who he is this morning. Hallelujah. We're serving a great God. So this centurion, he understood that he was God. The second thing that he realized was, after he identified him as being Lord, the next words out of his mouth was, verse 8, I am not worthy. First, he identified him as being God. The second thing he says now is, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. There are many who have walked into churches all over this nation today, and they feel as if, as they walk into these buildings, that if they feel as if God owes them something. That's their attitudes. They come into the house of God, and just by showing up, they think that maybe God owes them a blessing or owes them a miracle or owes them something for just getting up and waking up and coming to the house of God. And I'm so thankful that God is a merciful God and that God always gives us blessing and always honors sacrifice. But I don't want to come here today with that kind of attitude, that as if I, just because I got my suit and my tie on and as I got dressed and come to the house of the Lord, that I came here today and I feel like that God owes me something. I'm here today because I'm really and honestly, I owe him everything in my life, because I was a sinner saved by grace. I was as wretched as that person that's on the bar stool right now. I was worse than any sinner out there, and yet God had mercy and compassion on me. And so this gentleman here, not a Christian, not a Jew, recognizes that he's not worthy in the presence of Almighty God. I hope that we come into this place with thanksgiving and praise upon our lips, amen, not with complaining and murmuring, because this Roman captain, he knew he was unworthy. He did not even deserve even the master to look on him. And unto the general public, though, this man was a man of power, for his helmet identified him as being a centurion. By them looking at him, they knew he was a captain over 100 men. By his bright shining armor and by his sword that was strapped around his waist, they knew that he was a powerful man. But this man of war, at the moment he came in contact with God, he understood he was outranked. He understood at that moment in time that I'm nothing, that I'm a nobody. Something about the presence of Almighty God, when you get closer to him, you realize how small you really are. Amen? Was it Isaiah chapter 6, when he got closer to the glory of God, he realized, hey, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not even worthy to see your glory, God. He understood as he began to see the glory of God manifest in that temple. He realized how important and insignificant he really was. And so this man realized he was outranked. He realized right now he was outclassed. He realized he was outmatched. He understood the power of authority, and he quickly humbled himself before the mighty hand of God. For he said these words, I am not worthy even for you to even come under my roof. There's no doubt in my mind that this house, that his house that he lived in, was probably nicer than any house that was in the crowd that day. But he recognized that when Jesus walked in front of him, that this man had walked on more than just the desert sands of Galilee. When he stood in the presence of Almighty God, he realized this man had walked in some places I'd never been before. This man had walked in some palaces. This man had walked in some palaces of gold, streets of gold. This man had walked in some places I had never been before in my travels. He realized that this was none other than God Almighty, and he humbled himself. He swiftly forgot his pride. He didn't have any boldness. No, he had no violence in him, nor confidence in himself. In this moment, he was simply a man standing in front of God, and he knew he was unworthy. So he recognized who God was. He recognized that he was unworthy. But watch what he says next. Verse 8, he says, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." For him, God's word was good enough. He didn't need a choir singing. He didn't need Jesus to elaborate for 30 minutes on a parable. By God just speaking in that moment of time, it was good enough for him. Why was he like that? Because he understood the power and the authority of God. Here today we sit in a nice facility and the air is blowing, thank the Lord. We sit here and we're sitting on pews that are padded. The songs have went forth, and now the word of the Lord is going forth as I'm preaching this morning. And so often we are much like thousands were Friday night. We're waiting for an explosion, right? We're waiting on somebody to light the fuse. We're waiting for something to, some booming sound to come forth. We're waiting for all these things to happen. But the word of God, one word from God is all we really need. I said one word from the Lord is all we really need. I'm glad we have great music. I'm glad we have great preaching. I'm glad we have great Sunday school teachers and great programs in this church. I'm glad that we have a great pastor. I'm glad for all you people. But you know what? All I really need and all we really need is one word from the Lord. One word from God can solve every problem that we're facing. One word from God can solve every situation, everything that we face in life. All we really need is one word from God. I know that I'm supposed to be teaching this morning, but don't just go to sleep on me because I'm teaching a lesson. Amen? We need to respond to the word of God. Because as the word of God goes forth and we connect with that word, something can happen in our lives. Amen? One word from the Master doesn't need all the theatrics. It does not necessarily need a booming voice. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We just need to be like this Roman centurion here. Speak the word, Lord. That's good enough for me. Speak the word, Lord. That's good enough for me. You don't have to come to my house. I don't have to feel you today. I don't have to hear a booming voice. God, all I need you to do is just speak a word to me in my life. One word from him. I don't need to hear the right song this morning. I don't need to see angels flying above my head. I don't have to be caught up in the seventh heaven. God, just speak the word to me. That's all you need sometimes. Speak life. We need God to speak life to our dead situations, don't we? We need God to speak hope to our hopelessness. We need God to speak faith to our unbelief. We need him to speak restoration to our destruction. We need God to speak joy to our sadness. If you pray for anything today, my prayer would be for you to say, God, speak a word to my life today. Whether it's through a song or through a preacher, or as I'm just lifting up my hands, God, Lord, I just want to hear your voice today. You see, he goes on to say, this centurion, he goes on and it reads like this in verse 9. He says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." You see, he understood by God just speaking the word that there were going to be something in the spiritual world that was going to take place. By him just uttering words, that the gift of healing, the gift of faith was already in operation. It was already moving because he understood this man is a man of authority. And what he says, there's power in his word. He understood that whenever Jesus spoke, there was things that were going to happen. He didn't need him to touch his servant. He just needed him to speak the word because he was a man of authority. And he understood the authority that comes from only God. When we're submitted to God, not to our will, we begin to submit our lives unto his hand. We'll see that God will begin to direct us and work through us. As this captain received his orders, he carried them out. As his authority, those that were in authority above him, as they gave him his orders, he carried them out to those 100 men that he was over. And so just like that, we need to understand the power and authority of God. We need to submit our lives unto Him because there are things that God wants to do in the earth, and He wants to do it through you and I. But we have to get ourselves into a position where, first of all, we believe that He's God. Second of all, we humble ourselves like we talked about. And then now we understand that He has the power and the authority to change lives and situations, that by His spoken word, by God just telling us something to do, whether He tells us to go visit someone in the hospital, to call somebody and pray over them, whatever it is, teach a Bible study, we understand the power and the authority of God. It's not me. It's not my words. It's not even this Bible lesson. It's God working through me that I can reach the masses. I can heal the sick. I can see the blinded eyes open. Why? Because I understand the power and the authority of who God is. Amen. I'm nothing in myself. I can do nothing, but through Christ I can do all things when I get under His authority. Amen. He spoke the word, Jesus did, and guess what? His servant was healed. We got to realize that we got to carry out the King's orders. He came and died so that millions could be saved and healed. We heard many great words this week at camp meeting, and every one of them just hit home with me, because I want to make sure that I'm doing all that I can for the kingdom of God. And we were challenged this week, and I want that to continue, the challenge that we heard at camp meeting, to continue in this church, that every day we wake up and we realize that we can do a mighty work in God, that God is with us, that God can work through us. All I've got to get myself is submitted unto God. Find me an altar every day. Get in that place of prayer where I can submit under the authority of God and understand His will and purpose, and I can see God do great things in my life. And let me tell you, somebody today, that's all we have to do, is realize that He is God and realize that we are unworthy, but God wants to work through us. And all we've got to realize is when He speaks that word to us, no matter what it is, if we will respond quickly and do His work, I want to tell you, there's no telling what will happen in the city, no telling what will happen in our family. Oh, I wish somebody would help me this morning. There's no telling what will happen in this place if we understand the power and the authority of God. Clap your hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. God has given us some things. He's given us authority. Mark chapter 16, and I know my voice is squeaky, but I've been battling sinus congestion, so please bear with me. But verse 17, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that what? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." We've given some authority. We've been given some authority. Look at some more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." See, he's talking about authority here. He's talking about submission. He says, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Peter was writing unto us about getting under the authority of God, submitting yourself unto the mighty hand of God, not doing your will, but doing the will of the Father. And he talked about this in Scripture, how that when if we'll learn to do that, not only submit ourselves to God, but those are in authority, to our pastor, to our leaders, to even our government. What did Jesus do? Jesus, at any time, he could overthrow the Roman Empire. And a lot of times his disciples, even the Pharisees and the scribes, when they came to him, that's exactly what they wanted Jesus to do. They knew that he had the power. He could have called 10,000 angels at any time. But what did Jesus do when they asked him questions concerning government and leadership? He was submitted. They brought him a coin and said, "What is inscribed upon this? What's on here?" Or they said, "Should we pay?" Basically, they asked Jesus, "Should we pay taxes?" And he said, "Well, what's on the coin?" And they said, "Well, it's Caesar's image." And they said, "Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God." What was he teaching them there? He was teaching them, "I'm not here to start a rebellion like you want. I'm here to be submitted. I robed myself in flesh. Yes, I am the King of glory. Yes, I have all power. But I came here for an example." Why did Jesus even pray? Think about that. He was basically talking to himself. But why did he get on his knees and pray often? Why did he arise early in the morning and got away from the crowds and found a place to pray when he was just basically talking to himself? He was teaching us something. He understood the authority of God. He realized that he was, even though he was God incarnate, he was still man, and he had fleshly desires like you and I. The scripture says he was in all points tempted like you and I, but yet he was without sin. So he's taught us some things. He taught us to submit himself under the mighty hand of God. And so when he prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying and submitting himself to the authority of God, to the will of God, because he said, not my will. He didn't want to go to that cross. He didn't want to be beaten. He didn't want to bleed and die. He didn't want to cry out in agony. But he went to the cross in a total act of submission under the power and the authority and the will of God. And so in you and I, that's why we've got to bear a cross. We've got to understand the power and the authority of God of submitting our lives unto him. James says it this way. Perhaps I may be preaching to the choir this morning, but I think this is good stuff for us this morning. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to who? To God. But this is the scripture that we like to quote here. This is the part we like in this verse. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We love that part. And it's certainly biblical. We can certainly practice that, resisting the devil and he will flee from us. But we forget the first part. Could it be that a lot of times the devil doesn't flee from us? It's because we're not submitted. Could it be that the enemy is not afraid of us because we haven't submitted ourselves to the power and authority of God? Could it be that we operate so many times in the flesh that the devil, he doesn't have any problems sometimes having problems and situations in our life because we are not submitted, therefore, unto God? But when we submit ourselves to God, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we get under the mighty hand of God, I want to tell you, not only will God be for us, that when we resist the devil, he certainly will flee from us because we have somebody that's greater living inside of us. We have some power and authority that comes from above, not from this earth, not from our flesh, but the power and authority of God. That's understanding the authority of God. Amen. We have to get to a place that we walk up to somebody, whether it's cancer or heart disease, that we are so submitted unto the will of God that we can walk to that person, put our hands on him and say, I heal you in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power and the authority of God, not what I do and not what I say, but by the power and the authority of Almighty God, I heal you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we are submitted totally unto God, we have the backing of his word and the backing of his spirit that they will be healed. That is why we must understand the power and the authority of God. God is not scared of cancer. God is not afraid of heart disease. God has all power. He's not afraid of sugar diabetes or any other disease out there. And sometimes we are afraid to pray for people because we are not submitted unto his will. But if we are submitted and understand the power and authority that only comes from God and realize that it's Christ working through us, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And when we lay our hands on the sick and we start prophesying it through his name and start telling them things that we didn't even know was happening in their life, I'm going to tell you, we are submitted unto the power and authority of God. They will recover. They will be healed. I wish somebody would believe me with me this morning. I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do in the earth in the year 2014 and the year 2015. And the years to come, amen. The power and authority of God. Am I making sense this morning? Amen. We got to get under his power and authority. See, we have a source of power that's unstoppable. When you are submitted to God, some benefits come with that submission. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, he says, and I will give unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When Jesus walked this earth, his followers often wanted him to do a lot of things, but he was submitted. He was submitted to the power and authorities of his day. He was submitted to the Spirit of God. He went to the wilderness and fasted for 40 days so that he could get under the power and the authority of God. As we stand together this morning, when Christ looked at this Roman captain, and after he said all the things that he said, identifying that he was God, whenever he realized that he was unworthy. And when he said those words, Lord, all you got to do is speak. Jesus, the Bible says he marveled. He was amazed. And the words out of Jesus' mouth next was, he says, verily I say unto you, verse 10, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This man, who in the Bible, to my knowledge, his name was never mentioned, Jesus said, I have not found nobody greater in faith than this man right now. You got to understand who Jesus was rubbing shoulders with. John the Baptist, his apostles. He seen Mary Magdalene. He seen a lot of people that came to him and had a lot of faith. But he said, this man, you know why he has great faith? He understood authority. He understood who I am. He understood everything that I possess, everything that I'm trying to teach my disciples, everything that I'm teaching about in my parables, everything that I've talked to all my followers about. He understands it right now in just these few moments. He understood that he was God. He understood that he was unworthy in his presence, and all he had to do was speak the word, and things would happen. Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I believe that we understand our Lord and Savior. If we could truly understand his works and his power, if we truly could get a knowledge of who God really, really is, this place would double, this place would triple. God would be working through us each and every day of our lives. We would live a life that's victorious. Oh, there'll be trials. There'll be situations that arise because the devil will try and fight us. But I want to tell you, he will not be able to stop us when we learn and understand the authority of God. I don't know about you, but I want to pray this prayer today. God, help me to understand who you are and what you can do. Why don't we lift up our hands this morning and let's pray that prayer together. Lord Jesus, I understand that you are Lord. I understand, God, that you have all power. Lord, and I understand also, God, that I am unworthy, Lord, of your grace and mercy, Father. But I also understand, Lord, that if you'll just speak the word, Lord, if I'll just open my ears and my understanding to what you speak, oh God, that you can do a mighty work through me. Lord, and I pray, Lord, over this congregation this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would always find a place of prayer, that we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we would understand the power and the authority. It doesn't come in ourselves, in our talent, in our abilities, God, but it comes only from you and through your word. And I pray, mighty God, that every day we would learn to understand how you work, what you want to do in our lives, what you want to do in our homes. And we can only find that out, mighty God, by humbling ourselves and understanding you and who you are. Lord, help us to, Lord, submit our lives unto you, Father. Help us, God, to be more like you, and we'll be always grateful, God. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord this morning.